Welcome to the Eighth Note. This is our sixth episode, Baruch Hashem, Parshas Nasai. We are just coming out of Shavuos, and we're reading Parshas Nasai again. I am Gitti Rappaport, and I'm here with my brother, Rabbi Reuven Wolf, from Mayan Yisrael in Los Angeles. And welcome. We're going to start learning. Parshas Nasai, it's very interesting. The Rebbe brings up this, at least I think this was a pretty new concept of Torah Chadasha, that this new Torah that's being uncovered, that's being discovered, that's being tapped into, that we have access to now during going into the times of Mashiach. So let's get into it.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining. So what's interesting is that this sicha talks about newness and chiddush and the world of innovation, which is really, really fabulous, because the Rebbe was talking to us at a time when the world was at a cusp of a new world entering, literally. And at the time the Rebbe spoke, it was literally at the cusp of a new world, as I'll try to elaborate on. And now we are at the time again of another new world. This newness of the world right now, I would say, is much larger and much greater and far more newer, if we might say, than the newness that was going on at the time of 1991. Which, if I can say something interesting, is that if you see we didn't discuss this much, but in the sichas in general of 1991, of Tavshin Nun Aleph, going into Tavshin Nun Beis, the Rebbe is making a lot to do of the fact that year was a very special year. Right. It's the year of Arenu Neflois, and it came after the year of Shnas Nisan. Nisan is the year of miracles, Arenu Neflois. The Rebbe was pointing to events that were happening in the world at that time and very clearly saying that these are messianic events, especially the war that was going on over then in Iraq. The war that happened in Iraq, the Gulf War, the Rebbe was associating it with a nevuah, a prophetic vision of the Midrash, when the Midrash talks about a story of Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, that the year that Mashiach will come, there will be a lot of confrontation in the Middle East between Arab countries and Persia or Iraq, whatever. The Rebbe then wasn't translating Persia as Iraq, Paras, and then that they would get Aram involved with it, and the Rebbe brings in some places that the Girsa is either Aram, means the Arabs will run and they'll bring Aram into it, which is also Edom, which is could be what the Rebbe was referring to, America. And that war is going to be a very, very frightening war, and the whole world will be scared, and Jews will be very frightened, and Hashem calms them down, and Hashem says,
"Please don't worry.
The time of redemption has arrived." And the famous song that we know, the MBD song, and later became so famous, Anavim, Anavim, the Mashiach stands on the roof of the Beis HaMikdash, Anavim, Anavim, Egi Zman Gulaschem. So the Rebbe is talking about that, and that's the year that Mashiach is revealed. Fast forward, it's now close to 40 years, no, 30, what is it now? Nun Aleph, to now it's about 35, 36 years later, and we have the same situation in a war going on in the Middle East. This time the players are even more accurate to the Medrash than when the Rebbe was talking. The players are mamish paras. The threat that they're going to destroy the world is a much bigger threat, because from Iraq at that time, there was no threat of nuclear weapons. It was a threat only of chemical weapons and other types of really, really bad stuff, gas and things like that, poison gas. But it was not on the level of it is today. And the miracles that are occurring that happened then, in a certain way, have happened this year much larger than what even happened then. Although we have to say that then there was the uniqueness of that time was that mamish, none of the Jewish people were harmed. This year, sadly, we do have quite a lot of lost soldiers, and we do have some people, I'm talking about, being hit with the Iranian missiles. But the enormity of the threat compared to every day in Eretz Yisrael, the miracles are just absolutely crazy. It's just that we've gotten so normal to it, and we're not even reporting.
We don't even appreciate it.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is that I see very much that there is a kind of whatever the Rebbe was talking about in Nun and Nun Aleph is reoccurring now, and it's running parallel. And when the Rebbe was saying then that we're at a cusp of newness, of a new world, now we're at a cusp of newness of a new world as well. And the newness of now is far, far larger than the newness of then. So let me just explain that in a moment. And that is that at that time, we were talking about in 1991 is when the internet was released, which changed the dynamics of the world. It literally created a new world. Everything in the world changed because of the internet. Everything changed. The ability to, right? Just the way we run our lives.
The way we shop.
You remember the days when you used to call before a wedding or before anywhere you went? You had to write down directions.
Direction.
You take the third right, you get the third left, you go over there, you go. This is before GPSs. And this is where you work. You would stop at a gas station, talk to the clerk. Actually, people used to talk to each other those days. You would talk to the clerk, ask, you'd come off an exit. You have no idea. And he would have to think it's the third row, the fourth row. You take a left. You had no idea. And now everything, you're totally connected. Today, if we get disconnected from the internet for 5 minutes, we think the world died. Like we can't even live. We're hyperventilating. It's such a crazy, and I'm not talking about everything else that is like in our fingertips. We're connected to family all over the world. We can see each other, not just talk on phone, which it became dirt cheap, but also actually see each other continuously. Baruch Hashem, I have children all over the world these days. And it's as much as a pain that they're far away, but like mamish, you're with them with I'm not even describing it because everything changed with the internet. As great as that change is, if you listen to Elon Musk and what they're describing over the next 2-3 years, 4-5 years, where the world is going with the AI revolution and quantum computing revolution, it's literally going to be an unrecognizable world. So the world is going into a massive state of chiddush. And what the Rebbe speaks about and what is so awesome is that the Rebbe says that all of that begins with the chiddush of Torah. Now, if Yiddishkeit and Torah feels boring because you're doing your same chitas and your same chumash and tanya and you're reading the same thing over again and this and that, then obviously we're not tuning in, because if the world is being new and such to a point that such hidden, latent powers that must have always been in nature, because if it had not have been in nature, we would never be able to discover them. These are just discoveries. They're not new things that we create. We're creating them, but we're unlocking power that Hashem has already, because they're not creating anything Yeshmeyayin. They're just utilizing certain abilities, developing and developing and developing of what is, and bringing it out and bringing it to the forefront. So which means that we're pumping out of the world powers and abilities that no one would have begun to dream of in the past. That this becomes available, all of that is released in the world. Since the Torah is the blueprint of creation, the Torah also has these chiddushim, and we need to recognize that our ability to live Torah enthusiastically and with excitement, and to probe and not be afraid to be innovative, not to be afraid to say chiddushim. Now, I'm a little bit of a polisher. In a sense, you know, as we know, we come from. So I was not baked and bred in the Lubavitch system. And I can say certain things, you know, maybe is better if you are. But I do celebrate the fact that I'm a freebie, meaning I'm not locked into certain locks that I see a lot of people are. I'm not afraid to say chiddush. It doesn't bother me. It's like there is such a like, oh, ver bistu, you know, who are you to say a chiddush? Who are you to say? and what's interesting is that people are missing is that the Rebbe in Parshas Bamidbar and in Parshas Nasa, these two sikhs, is calling for every person to say chiddushim. The Rebbe is saying, get with the times. There's a time now. The Torah is being unlocked now on levels that we've never seen before. Dive into it. Pull out of it things that no one has seen before. And obviously I'm not claiming that my chiddushim are bigger than whatever it is, but we should not be intimidated by that. Now, I'll tell you the reason why people are intimidated that because by Chassidim, it was always frowned upon. You're saying chidushim. People were, there was a lot of Kabbalah soil, bittel, and kind of things like that. And who do you think you are? You're a metzias if you said chidushim. But if you still make that argument today, then you're obviously not listening to the Rebbe's sichas. The Rebbe told us we're in Yemos HaMashiach. It's a time of chidush, and therefore you have the ability to make chidushim, say chidushim, and live with the times. And if you don't make chidushim, if we're living in a time when we have to make chidushim and we don't make chidushim, you know what happens? We become fajavit, as you say in Yiddish. It becomes
stale. Very stale.
We become stale and dead. Mm-hmm. And in the time of the past, you can live with that because you weren't stale, because that's what you were supposed to do, not say chidushim and just work with what you have. But when the time comes to say chidushim, to stay young and fresh, excited, and passionate, and then everybody knows when you're passionate about what you're teaching. Everybody knows you're passionate about life. And that's what speaks to people. And that's, and today's days, it's in the realm of chidushim. Yes, not everything has to say in the sicha. Not everything has to say in the maimer. Stay rooted in chassidus. Stay rooted in the Torah of the past, but allow yourself to open up the wellsprings of wisdom, wellsprings of knowledge, wellsprings of inspiration. Allow it to flow, and it's okay. As long as obviously the principles and the root is sourced in and you're rooted in, and you have bittel. That's obviously you need to have bittel. But that which has to go. So where am I going with this? Interesting thing is that this whole sicha, the Rebbe said it in a manner of a chiddush as well. Because I don't know if you know the story, what happened with the sicha.
So I just just a thought that came up to me, and we're going to get back to that. I kind of feel like it's cyclical. I mean, we're talking about how the Torah, this Torah Chadasha, this Mashiach's Torah that's coming out, is what's bringing about this new change, let's say these technological changes. But on the other hand, when we're living in this world, our lived experience in this world with these technological changes, I think because we're living it and we experience it, we can take those ideas and transfer it back to understanding the Torah.
Yeah, for sure.
So it kind of brings you from one and then it takes you back again.
And there's no question that through learning the Torah Chadasha and through, let me put it this way, the one who is meant to deliver the biggest dosage of Torah Chadasha, as we will still discuss in a few minutes, is going to be Mashiach. He is the mentor and the teacher of Torah Chadasha, although it's not his chiddush. It's the chiddush of Hashem. Torah Chadasha me'iti teitze. The Eibishter is going to be machadish in Torah. Hashem is going to say chiddushim. But Hashem is going to megala it, reveal it through Mashiach. So in that case, there is no question that Mashiach will guide humanity to chiddushim in science, chiddushim in technology, and chiddushim in improving the world on levels that the greatest Elon Musks and the greatest minds haven't even gone there yet. Mashiach will guide humanity in that sense. Why? Because the chiddushim of Torah are the source of the chiddushim in the world. So by unplugging the Torah, which is the inner wisdom of Hashem, that will recreate a powerful infusion into the world and into the sciences and the discoveries of the world, because the world is considered the Hashem's chitzonius of his wisdom. All the wisdom that Hashem created the world with is called chachma da'asiyah. It's the chachma of malchus. It's the chachma of action. Chachma of chachma is the chachma of Torah, which is immeasurably higher. But when there is a whole wellspring of wisdom, which is, what do we call it, which is exponentially greater than everything that was before, it inevitably is going to translate into the world. So in that sense,
I think what's important here is to recognize that if we're living in this time and we are told that we have to engage with this world to really use this to understand the Torah also, not just that the Torah is going to bring that out, but for me, it's like, oh, all of these concepts that didn't make sense to me, or I couldn't comprehend, now that I have these technologies and these, I mean, this idea that things were, like you said, exponentially, you know, the idea that a box, a small, you know, phone could contain so much information, something like that was illogical 300, 400 years ago, right? So I think that as we're living in this world and experiencing it, to constantly be pulling out, that's the chidushim, to be pulling out our lived experiencing and transferring it to, oh, this is what the Torah really means. This is what things that didn't make sense to me, now they make complete sense because I'm living it in such a real way.
So the chitzoni is the externality influences the pneumistic experience, right? And the pneumistic experience can enhance the chitzonius.
And that's how they... what's creating the chitzonius.
Yes.
But we're
yes.
just not getting it.
Yes.
The other thing that you said that I think struck me was that you said about becoming stale. The Rebbe talks about having tainug and having pleasure. And this Torah has to come from this place of a deep, specifically the opposite. You know, when you said stale, I was like, that's like the opposite of being passionate and being inspired by it. And I think for me, really what gets me excited is when I see it in the world, when I'm really experiencing it, when I'm like, you know, it's not just something I'm learning. It's something that I could like point to almost in a physical way and say, this is what it is. So that brings that pleasure and that tainug. It's not just something that's, you know, theoretical or just the speech that I'm sitting through, but something that really relates to me in a very real way.
So what's interesting is that Torah always from the very onset, Torah and pleasure go together. Torah is meant to be a pleasurable experience because you're engaging, and we know that in Chachma, there is a great dwelling of pleasure. So that is true. And Chassidus, it brings examples, especially when there's a chiddush in Torah, that the person becomes filled with oneg. We bring the example of Rav Abuha. Rav Abuha, the Talmud says, the Gemara says that once Rav Abuha was they saw his face was red and he was beaming, like glowing. Tzahavu panav. His face was radiating. And when they asked what it was, because he found a new Tesefta. In other words, he's learning, he had his understanding of Torah till now. He found a new Tesefta, which is a new Brisa, which suddenly like a new Mishnah. It opened up to him such a, like a wow, such a pleasure. And his face was beaming. But where am I going? What I'm saying is that that's true about the Torah now, when the Torah now and the Torah that we're studying now is stemming from Hashem's Chachma. It's just that in the Chachma there's a little ray of pleasure. And yet, the pleasure is such an important part in the learning. Moshiach's Torah, that's what the Rebbe brings over here, Nasa Yes Rosh, to lift the head, which means to lift the entire experience of Torah into the world of pleasure, where the Torah itself is plugging in to Hashem's infinite pleasure. So the Torah is no more a Torah of wisdom, of knowledge, it's a Torah of pleasure. It's the concept that it says that Moshiach will reveal Tamei Torah, the reasons of Torah. Tam also means the taste.
Right.
The pleasure of Torah. So for instance, like we look in the, when we read Chumash, we read the Chumash, we're reading the letters. And the Alter Rebbe says, we're not even reading the letters. The Alter Rebbe says, we're reading the combination of the letters. What the letters themselves mean, the shapes and the forms, the Alter Rebbe says, even that we're not tapping. Like there's an amazing wisdom, divine wisdom, that has to do just with the letters themselves, which we're not even looking at because we're not...
There are some times where they talk about certain letters and what is significant, but that's, I guess, just the minute.
But it's a tiny drop of the bucket.
Right.
So we're not even looking at the letters. We're looking at the combinations of the letters. But then there is the letters. Then higher than the letters is the crowns. the crowns on top of the letters. What does it mean, a crown? The crown is a level of the wisdom of the Torah that is still too high for it to come into a, it hasn't shaped yet. It hasn't come down in a form of a letter. It's all we can see of it is just a little mark. Those are the crowns on top of the letters. The crowns are higher than the letters, which means that the divine light and lichtigkeit and energy that's in it is much higher than the letter. The letter is already a constriction because it's a far more
a shape of a form.
That is less. Now, what you don't see in a Sefer Torah, which is even higher than the crowns, are the nekudais. The nekudais are already even a level prior to the, and it's interesting. We hardly read the letters. We definitely don't read the crowns. Rabbi Akiva used to darshan on the crowns. Okay, Rabbi Akiva darshan. But the nekudais, no one is touching. Above the nekudais is the trup, the song of Torah. The song can't even be captured in anything. We make simanim for it. You can see pashtamina, but that's not. It's just purely a pure abstract song. That's what it is. That's the Torah way above chachma. That's the Torah where Torah is rooted in the Pnimius of Kesser, in Atik Yomen, in pure Ein Sof. It's Hashem's tune. It's Hashem's song. Hashem is singing a nidyan of pleasure. That level of Torah is what Mashiach is revealing. Is Torah Chadasha, Me'iti Teitze. So that element of Torah is pleasure on steroids because its essence is pleasure. It's not pleasure vested in Chachma. It's pleasure, just the ocean of pleasure itself, of Hashem's pleasure. So therefore, what does that tell you? That we are being called for to start living Yiddishkeit in a very pleasurable way, in a very rich, and experience enormous delight and simcha. Now, it's also true that because of the halamis vehesterim, the concealments, we can get stuck if we get caught in the shell of existence. We are the most constricted shell there's ever been. There's no chayas there at all, and you can live in the most deepest constricted depression ever, dafkin our time, because like a lot of the light from the past dried up. And unless you're willing to have the courage and open up the new doors of the future, you can be in a real. In other words, let me put it this way: the Rebbe referred to our generation as a Dor Achron Shel Galus and Dor Rishon Shel Geula.
Right.
So it's both. What I'm saying is, if we're hanging out in Dor Achron Shel Galus, it's the most painful place to be in. On the one hand, there's a lot of significance to it because you have nothing going for you. There is no chayas there at all. And yet you're sticking it out. That's Mesiras Nefesh Ein Kamayu. And you know what? It's unbelievable. It's a Mesiras Nefesh Ein Kamayu. But what's the Mesiras Nefesh? That you have zero inspiration, zero light, zero anything. And you're just being Meisar Nefesh. That's like sometimes I wonder the people who don't have chassidus. And I'm like, admire how frum people can be. And I say, what? I say, oh, mamash Mesiras Nefesh. It's unbelievable. It shows the power of the neshama. But sad it is to be in that space. How much better is it to be in the place of chassidus? So now take that same idea. To be in Geula now is like unbelievable because we can experience, now obviously, what we can experience now until we're going to have the third base Hamikdash, until we're going to literally see Mashiach's face radiating and speaking to us, is only a little nuggets, little crumbs of it. But these crumbs or these little flashes, these sparks are already available for us to tap, for us to live with. Chidush Torah. Yeah. I was going with this just for a moment. This whole Fabrengen that the Rebbe spoke was a chidush.
Right.
Pasha Shabbos, Pasha Snasa, 57, 51. Tavshin and Aleph, 1991. The Rebbe had a regular Fabrengen, like he had every Shabbos. at 1:30, whatever the time for the Fabrengen was, went for a few hours. Then everybody went home to the shop. It's a long, it's a summer. Sometime after Mincha, just a couple of people hanging out in 770. It was a small thing. The door opened up. The Rebbe walked in with a towel, holding his own kvart with a Netilas Yadayim, walked in and came in without telling anybody that there was going to be a Fabrengen. And the Rebbe sat down in this Fabrengen place. The people went crazy. They ran to get chalas. It was absolutely chaos. And then everybody came running and I was like, and the whole Fabrengen was a chiddush. It was a Shalashuddis Fabrengen that Rebbe washed after Mincha, and it went till Matzah Shabbos, and then he gave Koshal Bracha again. He gave Koshal Bracha Matzah Shavuos, and he gave Koshal Bracha after this thing. So this whole Fabrengen was a chiddush, and in a sense, if I can allow myself to be a little, say a chiddush, my chiddush is that the reason the Rebbe is coming down is because then the Rebbe is bringing Torah Chadash. He's unplugging Torah Chadasha at that Fabrengen, and therefore it had to be a chiddush. It had to be not the regular expectation. He came down, it's almost like he's coming down from Har Sinai, and the subject matter is that we are now being given an opening to Torah. It's almost like the Rebbe opened up the faucet of Torah Chadasha at that Shabbos Mincha, Parshas Nasai Fabrengen.
And that specifically Mincha time, right? Specifically Shalosh Shuddis is specifically like appropriate to
because it's the Zman of Geula, it's the Zman of Yaakov, because the three meals are referring to the first Beis Hamikdash, second Beis Hamikdash, and third Beis Hamikdash, the time of the future. So Shalosh Shuddis time, which is talking about Nachlas Yaakov, Beli Mitzarim, Yaakov is Beli Gvul, without an end, and Yaakov is Taira, as we know, Avram is Chesed, and Yitzchak is. So the Rebbe is then opening up this Nachlas Beli Mitzarim, opening up the flood for Torah Chadasha. So let's back up a little bit and give a little context over here. What does Torah Chadasha mean? So along with this Sicha that the Rebbe spoke over here, there was also a Kuntris that was given out that the Rebbe edited, taken from the Fabrengens, where the Rebbe was talking about this concept at much greater length that he speaks about in the Sicha. And maybe it was, I think part of it's were taken from the three Fabrengens on Shavuos itself, and the first Fabrengen of Parshas Nasai, and the later Fabrengen of Parshas Nasai, where the Rebbe was discussing the concepts, and later they edited a whole sicha called Kunturis Torah Chadasha. What is it? There's a pasuk that says that there's a medrash that talks about famous story that when Mashiach comes, we're going to have a big feast, and there's going to be a fish, and there's going to be the Leviathan fish, and there's going to be the Shar HaBar, and the two of them are going to go to a war with each other, and the Shar HaBar is going to kill the Leviathan with its horns, and the Leviathan is going to shecht this wild boar. And that's how we're going to eat. The Shar HaBar is going to be shechted. So the question the Medrash asks, but it's not a kosher shechita. Why? Because it's a serrated, the fins of a fish are serrated.
Yes.
And you can't use a challah knife to cut to shecht. You have to use a very smooth knife. So it's not a kosher shechita. So the Medrash asks the question. So the Medrash answers, it says in the pasuk, Torah Chadasha Me'iti Teitzei, Chiddush Torah Me'iti Teitzei, in the days of Mashiach, there's going to be a Chiddush in Torah, which is going to be that shechita is kosher.
Uh-huh.
So the Rebbe asks the question, how can you say that? We know Zoysa Taira Loisei Mechlefes, you know, that borders on some very dangerous stuff that, you know, the Christians say, the new Torah, the Bris Chadasha, whatever. We don't believe in that. It's Torah Messina. No one can argue with Moshe Rabbeinu. What do you mean Torah? But the Medrash says there'll be a Chiddush in Torah. So the Rebbe goes on to explain it phenomenally it's going to have to be a heter that's going to come through the Sanhedrin. But the Sanhedrin can't make anything up. What's going to happen is the Eibishter is going to reveal a chiddush. Mashiach is going to understand it through his mind. He's going to understand this new brilliant chiddush, extrapolating in the Torah where the heter for the shechita is. In, and it's gonna, and he's gonna share it with the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin are gonna paskin that it's kosher based on the principles of Torah that we have today. It's just that now we cannot see it.
How the
serrated knife of the Shor Rabbah, like why it's kosher. It's like something that's hidden. It's almost like the, for generations they thought that every Moabite, every ger is from Moab is pasul. And in a certain time they handed a chiddush that they were able to detect from the Torah that only a man ger from Moav is pasul, but a woman Moavi v'loy Moavis, and they darshened it because only a man is the derech to go out and feed people food, and not a woman. How they were matarus, and David HaMelech's entire lineage is because Chazal darshened that only a Moabite man is not allowed to marry a Jewish girl, but a Moabite woman is allowed to if she's megayer. But that, for many, many generations, no one knew that chiddush. It took someone at the time of when it was needed and extrapolated during the Sanhedrin paskin that during Rus's back. Then it was forgotten for many generations to the point that everybody thought that David HaMelech was illegitimate. And then David had to be reinserted and redarshened again. It was a forgotten halach. So I'm just giving that as an example. Similar to that, there's a dormant Inyan and Torah that no one revealed yet. Okay. Now, okay. That's where most of that talk, where that kuntris goes to. But over there, the Rebbe over here and over there explains just the idea of how chiddush is the chiddush Torah that we're talking about. How amazingly chiddush. And he says something like this. He asks the question, in general, we say that we're told that we should learn Torah and we should make chiddushim. On the other hand, and that if you make a chiddush and you're learning Torah in the right way and you make a chiddush, if it's true chiddush, then it was given to Moshe Mesinai. So the Rebbe asked the question, how can it be given to Moshe Mesinai if it's your chiddush? And if Hashem said it to Moshe Rabbeinu already,
it's not a chiddush.
In the true sense of the word. Oh, no one else, since Moshe and Hashem spoke about it, no one else. Okay, but it's not a real chiddush. Because a chiddush means you are machadish. Can you really take the credit? No, Hashem said it to Moshe already. So is it a chiddush or not? So the Rebbe's idea in that is very, very, very beautiful. The Rebbe says Hashem did not tell Moshe Rabbeinu, every Rabbi Kiva Eger, every Chassam Sofer, and every Torah from whatever that says in Kedusha Slavi. The Eberster did not tell Moshe Rabbeinu all that vast amount of knowledge. Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu the general principles of all of Torah. And how, with all the klalim of Torah, all the general methods of how to learn, Hashem showed him how to learn like brisk, and Hashem showed him how to learn like the pilpul of the guy, like the parlish of pilpulim, and Hashem showed him how to learn like this. All methods of learning, all yud gimel midai shatayr and adreshes b'hem, every kal v'chayim egzei reshava, all these inyanim were taught to Moshe. That means that potential, every chiddush that's operating within these is really there, behelem, concealed. That means no one ever spoke it out. Until this Talmud Vasik comes, the student comes, and is Megala something, the Gili of it is a real Chiddush. But it was given to Moshe Mesinai because Behelim, in a concealed, it was there already. Okay? That is the idea of all Chiddushei Torah that we do from, and every person, the Alter Rebbe says, is a Chiyuv to be Machadish in Torah. Your Neshama has a Chelik in Torah that you can reveal. Fine. But then, he says, after we squeeze this lemon, okay, let's look at the Torah as a lemon. We squeeze it and get the juice out. We squeeze and squeeze and squeeze. Now, we've been squeezing this lemon for who knows how long. It's very hard today's days to say a real chiddush. Why? Someone must have said it already, right? So how many chiddush are you come up with an insight in Rashi that no one ever saw? I mean, millions of Jews scanned the Rashi throughout the generations. Of course, everybody said, okay, maybe you got a chiddush that no one saw, but there's very few left over, you would imagine. The Rebbe says like this. And what's going to happen in the days of Mashiach is that the Eibishter himself is going to sit down to learn the Torah. And the Eibishter is going to start brainstorming. Imagine when the Eibishter takes that squeezed lemon that we squeezed and gives a kvetch. What kind of juice can he kvetch out of that lemon? Is there only little drops left over? Since the Torah is his wisdom, and since the Torah is rooted in Atzmus Mamash. So when the Eibishter kvetches, the juicing that he juices, one squirt of the Eibishter's Chiddush Torah is Ein Sof more than all the Chiddushim that every human mind ever said. Because what the Eibishter is going to do is going to bring out things that are hidden so deeply in the Torah that our human minds, which are climbing into the Torah, let's say, you know, a couple of meters deep, and others, and then our greater minds who are super minds, and they can go like 30 feet, so to speak, deep into the Torah and probe deep or swim or dive. Think about a diver who dives in the ocean. How far down can they dive? The Eibishter, how far can he dive in his own Torah? When the Eibishter is going to be mechadish chidushim that no human mind could have ever extrapolated, even the most brilliant of the brilliant of the brilliant of the brilliant, all the Rogachover with the whatever, with all the brilliance of the brilliance, could never even get close to that. That's the chidush Torah. And he will reveal it to Mashiach, and the Mashiach will pour Torah to us like we've never seen before. That's going to be the chidushim. But as the Torah receives such chiddush, the Rebbe says, the world is also going to receive chiddush. Because the Torah is the blueprints of the world. So what's really cool about it is, the Torah is going to be unrecognizable after the Eibishter says his chiddushim. And the world is going to be unrecognizable. Although it's always the same world, it's the same Torah. There's not. In other words, the words are the same. The framework is the same, but the experience of it and the depth of it is new.
Right.
Totally new.
So going back to what I said before, because as you were just saying this past, you know, the last bit that you said, we were talking about Hashem learning the Torah and extrapolating. I kind of am losing you because I'm like, what does that mean? Like that Hashem... Like the Torah is the essence of it. Like, what does it mean he has to go back and learn it and bring out things? Like, he experienced the depth of the depth of the depth of the depth already when he originally created it, right? But now that you're saying you're experiencing it in a completely different way, the same way that the world, like, you know, if you would have told me, like you said, in the 1980s, oh, you're going to get in a car, you're going to be able to drive to the upstate New York, and you're not going to have to think about it, because I would have never done it if I didn't have GPS. I would have never, ever, and you would have told me. So now I'm like, oh, it's a completely different experience, even though it's the same car, it's the same roads, it's the same thing, but it's just, it's a whole new, like, vision. It's a whole new paradigm.
Because something that was hidden came l'day giloy.
Right.
So when we're talking about the Eibishter will squeeze the Torah and open it up, which means he'll be megale, he'll reveal in seichel, in words, the hidden light that was always in his essence, as the Torah is one with his essence, it now gets verbalized and it gets articulated and it gets communicated in a language that could be transmitted to us.
Everything was there. Everything mm-hmm. was there since the beginning of creation, but
just like
there was
quantum,
no way for us to
just like
interface
quantum,
with it.
Just like quantum computing, which is based on quantum, which is the tiniest element, smaller than the atom. It was always there, but for all practical purposes,
we had no
it didn't
idea.
Exist because no one was able to communicate there. No one was able to probe into that world. And now we have machinery and we have abilities to be able to extract that and communicate with that and operate with those systems.
And what's crazy is that as we're living in this world, as we're experiencing it, it becomes so normal and natural for us that we cannot go back, even if we wanted to. I would never get into a car and go somewhere without my GPS. I would never do that. I couldn't, right? Or I would never go back to banking, whatever, even in a greater scheme. Like, we would never go back to that. So I think that translates the same way when we're going to start experiencing, and we see that we're going to start experiencing that Torah Chadasha. It's going to be so natural to us and so, like, so organic, and like, you can't go back to the old way of understanding. This is your only way of operating. This is your
it's like
only
you can't,
way of
interfacing. You can't undo Hasidus.
Right.
You can't.
It's impossible.
Would you go back? You can't say, oh, you know what? I want to reverse to before I learned Hasidus. What was lacking? I was a frum girl. I was a frum whatever. I had my, you know, hashkafa, which was, because Hasidus is not just another information. It's
changes everything.
Changes everything, and it's a
changes
much
everything. It changes the way you understand.
It's the neshama of everything. You can't go back from that neshama to pre neshama of it. In the same way, yeah.
And that's—I feel like I sound like a broken record, but that's really what this idea of, I think the Rebbe says, open your eyes and just receive Mashiach, like just experience it. Is that's really going into that. And that's talking about the first generation of Geula, because once you experience that, once you open that up, you're in that place of expansiveness and place of things that, you know, that's held you back and that kept you stuck. Now they're not even there anymore. Like, the barriers are not even there anymore, because you have a totally new perspective on everything. Like you said, you can't go back. It's really.
Yeah.
It's true. It's the Kiddush. Truth.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. This was really.
And that's the Inyan of Nasei Esreish, lifting the head.
Head.
Lifting your, and the Rebbe says, if you lift the head, you lift the rest of your body and you're left. Knows once you have a head lift, and here we're talking Mashiach is a head lift. It's seeing and putting, you know, entering into a higher perception of reality and a higher operation mode. It's a lifting, you know, moving into a complete, much greater operational mode. You can't, as you said, you know, upgrade. It's like you upgrade your system from, if you use the computer, even with computing, if you use the computer from the 1980s, you couldn't use a computer from the 1980s. You couldn't use a phone from the 1980s. And now when we have the new, today I just went to get a new phone because my phone is, but I know that once you get the new one, it's so hard to go back to it. See, it doesn't work anymore, as you're saying. So the head too, and the entire intelligence has to goes into a Mashiach world perception, and there's no going back. And that's Nasei Esreish. You're lifting the head, and the entire human experience lifts higher, and the entire world's experience lifts higher, and everything moves into a godlier state of existence. Yeah. Perfecto.
Okay. Thank you so much. Amir Hashem, next week.
Yes.
We shall continue.
Yes. And this is just a tiny bit of the Sicha, so everybody can still learn the Sicha. This is just a little teaser of the beauty of it. All right. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you.